Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. And now we've added a new element to Bassmaster Radio, and that's our video feed that you can find at Bassmaster.com/radio or go to Bassmaster.com and click on the watch tab and then click on Bassmaster Radio. Now you can also find these videos at our YouTube channel. Just search for Tom Abraham, and remember, you spell Tom with an H. There are other exclusive interviews and commentaries there as well at the YouTube channel, so you might want to check that out. Welcome to episode 201 of Bassmaster Radio, and sometimes what's old is new again. Not that Greg Hackney at 47 is old, it's just that the Hack Attack is back after requalifying for the Elite Series the old-fashioned way by grinding it out through the opens, and Hackney only had the centrals to get it done in. He finished in the money in all four, including a fifth-place finish in the finale at Louisville in Texas, and now the pursuit of the only missing thing on his resume, the Bassmaster Classic, will continue. And Hackney is coming up later on in the show. Also joining us is Arkansas pro Harvey Horn, who had a mixed bag of results in 2020, but he is poised to be heading for the St. Johns River in a few weeks, a place where he was strong last season. In a leadoff role today is Neil Paul, Marshall Extraordinaire.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as I said, to get things started today, well, you know, Bass has opened up Marshall registration for Bass Nation and Life members, the preferred registration. And then next week, it'll be open for everybody to get in on the Marshall program. And I felt like if I wanted to talk about and promote this Marshall program, why not go to the guy that is pretty much widely regarded as like the grand poobah of Marshalls? I mean, if there was like a union chief of the Marshalls or a guy who knows as much about being a Marshall as anybody, it's Neil Paul from Visit Anderson, of course, full disclosure, great sponsor of Bassmaster Radio now for 3 years. But Neil also serves as a Marshall, and I don't even know how many he's done. He's going to tell us, though, here in a minute. Neil, welcome to the show. How are you?
Tom, I'm great. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You have to add that to your card, Grand Poobah of Bassmaster Elite Marshals. How about that? That's a pretty big title.
It sounds good. It just means that, I figured it'd be best to have something official attached to me if I'm going to stand in the boat and not catch anything.
There you go. Which, you know, it's only slightly different than when you actually go fishing, right? So,
now, see, that's a
cheap
exactly
shot.
Right.
That was just a cheap shot. All right. Do you know how many you've done? I mean, can you think back as, okay, I have done X number of marshalings, days of marshaling?
I haven't put a number. I know this is my third year. This is my third year, but I've done multiple events every year.
And multiple days at multiple events, too.
Yeah, multiple days at multiple events. So, I mean, I'm sure I could come up with the number. I just don't think time would allow us to do that.
It's a lot, is what it is. It's a lot. You might be at the top of that list. And look, full disclosure, When it comes to Saturday and then Championship Sunday and the field gets cut, there is kind of a pecking order among marshals based on who has done a really great job marshaling, which, you know, we're going to get into some of those duties are. But you have been asked numerous times. You have been told numerous times that, you know, look, we'd like to have you for top 10 Sunday because you're that kind of a marshal, right? I mean, let's just tell it the way it is.
It is. And here's the thing, like, regardless of what I'm doing, I try to give my best in everything that I do. And when I first had an opportunity to marshal and was told, hey, if you do a good job on days one and two, you could get invited, you know, out for day three and even day four based on your efforts. I just set my goals and my sights on going is for all 4 days. And so I've never left a house that I didn't pack for 4 days. And so it's worked out that I've been able to get 3 and 4 days in at every event that I've gone to.
Now the fee for marshaling to be a marshal in a tournament like this is $99, but that's regardless of how many days that, I mean, it might end up being, you know, $25 a day. I mean, it's incredible. And you're spending a day on the water with a world-class pro, and just talk about what you learn. Yeah, you don't have a rod and reel in your hand, but to sit there and to be able to watch these guys, monitor these guys, and how they attack a day, just talk about how valuable that is as a fisherman yourself.
I mean, it's incredible. I think, you know, and I don't fish competitively from a co-angler standpoint, I actually was thinking about this morning. I think, as you know, when you're competing, you know, I think the co-angler programs are tremendous, and I think if you fish competitively, you should take advantage of all those opportunities. But I think you're limited in how much you can learn in the boat because you're competing yourself and you're competing against other co-anglers throughout the tournament. But when you have an opportunity to marshal and you sit in the boat with the professional for the entirety of the day, you don't have an opportunity to pick up a rod and fish. Your sole focus is on that angler. And so you get to pick up every adjustment, you get to see every move that they make, and it's up to you. Honestly, it's up to you as to how much you learn. You can nod off and go to sleep, and you're going to miss a lot.
Yeah.
But if you stay in tuned, I've been very blessed in that, you know, over the course of 3 years and however many days on the water, I've not had a bad experience yet. And I don't think there's a bad experience out there. I think that, you know, you go into the opportunity understanding that you're in that professional's office, you're in his space. And so I think when you go in, you respect that space. And when the anglers see that you're there to learn, not to get in the way, and that you're open to learning, they're willing to teach and talk. And I was sitting at home last night looking at some of my notes, just notes that I took last year. I've got pages of notes, and everybody's got a smartphone these days, so I'm always putting things in my phone. And a lot of anglers will allow you, they'll allow you to shoot pictures of various baits, or they'll explain a technique to you or whatever. And then when you go back to the hotel or the rental home or wherever you're staying at night, you transfer that stuff from your phone to the notepad, and then you come home and you've got a great resource when you come home at the end of the weekend.
And some of these guys are chattier than others. We know that. I know I've fished about a dozen Eastern Opens as a co-angler, and you know, and some of the guys will tell you right off the bat, look, I don't like to talk. I really focus. Or, you know, they'll be like old Lee Trevino was in golf, where they just want to talk the whole time as well. So you respect that, but you're right about there not being a bad experience. I have not had that experience where, you know, you feel like you're a burden to the guy or anything like that. And often it goes the opposite way. You actually can come out of this with a friend. I mean, somebody that down the road you might be texting to and say, hey, good luck today, and that type of stuff. That's the kind of guys these are.
There's not one guy that I've been in a boat with yet. And I've had a couple of opportunities now because I've done so many days on the water that I've actually had repeat anglers. But there's not been one guy yet that I haven't had some sort of communication with long after the event, whether you see them at another event, whether, you know, you can text them and ask them a question, they'll pick up the phone and call, whatever. It's just, again, it's just been a great experience.
So $99, you get a bunch of stuff from AFCO, a gift card and apparel, a mask, a sticker, a koozie, all this kind of cool stuff from AFCO, which is worth more than $100 that you're paying, or the $99 that you're paying to be in the mix. And, you know, it's just a great, great day on the water, a great opportunity. And you do more than just why you could sit there and do very, very little, but also you kind of made your mark as a cameraman, you know, with the cell phone footage that you're able to send back to Bassmaster Live, being able to get a guy on the line, taking pictures or writing a blog. I mean, it's so much you could do, as much or as little as you want.
Absolutely. And that's why I go back and I said, you know, hey, I put my best foot forward and I try to provide as much blog information as I can. If I get paired, when I get my pairing the night before, and I know what angler I'm going out with, I'll do a little research on that angler, look at, you know, maybe how many classic appearances he's made, or find some unique stories or unique facts about a particular angler. And I'll use that information in my blogs on the following day, just to kind of add to the information that you're providing, because I think it's very telling to the readers, to the folks that are reading it. And I think anytime, you know, the folks at Bass do such a tremendous job with content and what Bassmaster Live has meant to professional bass fishing, to be able to be a part of that, whether it's blog information you're sending in, whether it's you know, videos like
shot a video. You had one last year that got played over and over again.
It was the big, like, 8-pounder or whatever, 9-pounder that Chad Pipkins caught at Chickamauga. It was incredible, on a spinning rod, no less.
Yeah.
And, but you get, you know, having, you know, being able to get the phone out and get that type of video and then the blog footage and the photos. I mean, it's, you know, if you really put your best foot forward, I mean, you can make quite a place for yourself, to be honest with you.
Good stuff. Neil Paul has been our guest. And Pip doesn't like to talk too much. He's a very quiet guy. I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course. Chad Pip is one of the great guys to spend some time with on the water, for sure. Well, Neil, I appreciate you so much. I assume we'll see you out there marshalling again this year. And thanks for letting the listeners know what a great value this is and how they can be a part of it.
Absolutely. Bassmaster.com. Check it out. And look forward to seeing everybody out there on the Elite Series this year.
There you go. It's that easy. Thanks, Neil. Neil Paul.
Thank you.
Jumping in with us there. All right, we'll get a break in here when we return. Harvey Horn is up next. We'll talk to Harvey right after this on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio and the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Hey, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now a time to talk to Harvey Horn, coming off a year. He probably didn't go the way exactly that he wanted it to go, but I know he's looking forward to the 2021 Elite Series, and he joins us now. Harvey, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me, man. We're good here in Northwest Arkansas, just hanging in there and getting ready to kick off the 2021 season. You know, trying to get the boat built and wrapped and orders placed for everything, trying to get everything lined up and ready for the first tournament down in Palatka next month.
Are you sure you don't want to be looking, maybe looking for a house over this way in Tennessee? You had a nice little run at Chick 19th in the Elite event there, and then at the Eastern Open at Cherokee Lake 24th, and then even down at the Eastern Open at Lay Lake in Alabama 25th. You seem to like the Mid-South over this way. You sure you don't want to come over here and find a piece of property?
You know, I did do some looking while I was over there, and it's beautiful country.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of friends, you know, that live in that area, and I look forward to coming back this year in the Elite Series and in the Central Opens. We'll be in that neighborhood quite a bit. A couple different chances to fish Pickwick, somewhere that I will spend a little bit of time this year. You know, I went out with a friend of mine one day this year, just wanted to get on the water because I've never seen it, and that place is going to be phenomenal. I really think you're going to see some of those great big Tennessee River smallmouth caught this year, and really looking forward to getting the season started.
Yeah, Pickwick is a place that the elites haven't been to in a while. We saw the college guys fish over there, certainly, this past year. But it is kind of an interesting deal where it's very, very unusual to where you will see an elite event and an open on the same body of water. That's kind of different when you think about those of you in the elites that are going to fish both. Usually you wouldn't have that scenario.
You know, it's going to be a unique year because of everything that happened in 2020. And I'm really looking forward to actually getting to visit some of these venues twice. You know, we're with the two tournaments on Pickwick. We also have an Elite Series event and an open on the St. Lawrence up north.
Yeah.
And both of those events, I've had some really good success up there. The first year I was on the St. Lawrence, and this past season didn't plan out so well, but it's just one of those places that it should be on everybody's bucket list to go to. The fishing there is so great. The people there are awesome. It's definitely a place to go visit if you've never been.
You know, I used to fish tournaments there when I was cutting my teeth back in the day. The old Red Man Circuit. Remember the Red Man Circuit? I used to fish.
We used to
fish up there at the St. Lawrence. That's kind of where I'm from, upstate New York, and that neck of the woods. But back then, if you had 15, 16, 17 pounds a day, that was a good day. Now, if you do that, you're in the bottom third of the roster. I mean, that's how much it's changed up there with the incredible smallmouth fishery. And, you know, there's still good, you know, we saw some good largemouth cut. There's places you can go where you can catch good largemouth as well up there. It's going to be interesting because those two events that you're talking about, the Open will be more down towards Clayton, I believe, and then you're going back to Waddington for the Elite. So it's almost like two different bodies of water. One will have the Lake Ontario open to it, and the other will be more of a river deal.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, for guys like me that growing up in Louisiana, we didn't have smallmouth. So when I moved to Arkansas, that's what I wanted to go chase. And I probably lost more money chasing these smallmouth in Arkansas and Missouri and Oklahoma than I would ever want to admit to. But to go up there and to be able to experience a smallmouth fishery like they have on the St. Lawrence and out onto the Lake Ontario, it's just incredible to go up there and see those numbers of 5, 6, and possibly 7 pound smallmouth now.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's absolutely crazy. Harvey Horn with us here, talking a little bit about his season last year and moving, looking forward to the upcoming season where there'll be some events that are held on the same body of water. We mentioned Pickwick as well. Now, it will be interesting because, one of the events will be at the end of the Open at Pickwick is at the end of April, the last weekend of April, and then the Elite Series event at Pickwick will be June 10th through the 13th. It really almost going to be like two different fisheries, I think, those two different times.
We'll definitely be seeing some fish on beds in April, I believe, and then by the time the Elite Series tournament gets there, most of those fish will be offshore. They'll be ledge fishing.
Yeah.
Guys will be making that run up to the dam. And it's just one of those places that somebody could win it up a creek. You never know with a fishery like that where the winning bag is going to come from. It's just really exciting for me to be able to go over there and spend that much time prior to an Elite Series event. And, you know, we're going to some great fisheries again this year. We're going back to Lake Fork where at a time last year when nobody said that it was going to be big weights and, you know, Patrick Walters goes out there and smashes 104 pounds.
Yeah.
That's one of those places where when we go back this year, you're liable to see 8 or 10 guys break that century mark. And just the fisheries that we've been able to get on this year coming up are going to be some really great places, and I'm really excited to get out there and get with them.
Talk a little bit about 2020. It was such a fractured year, obviously, with the pandemic and having to go do some fall fishing. We talked about how you did at Chick. That was your best event of the year with the 19th place finish there. But it wasn't the kind of year that you had hoped for, certainly throughout the year. How much of a curveball was it for you to have this fall swing that we were kind of forced into?
You know, I've always really enjoyed fall fishing because it's really challenging and it's the fish for me in the fall seem to be easier to pattern. I don't know why that is. It's just how it's always worked out for me. And, you know, we started out the year last year in Palatka. It was pre-spawn. There wasn't many fish on beds. I finished 12th there. And, you know, then kind of it fell off until we got back into that later fall fishing.
Yeah.
And those tournaments are generally very tough, and that's where I tend to shine, is in the tournaments where not everybody's going out and catching 20 pounds. So that for me was a really, really good boost to my confidence and, you know, just going into 2021, coming off those good events. I think it's going to be a real boost to what we're able to do down in Palatka and maybe even up in Tennessee. So I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, that's just how it's going to roll.
You're running that express boat. It seems like every year you add another guy to the roster of guys that are running the Tim boat. Just talk about that a little bit for you and what it has meant for you and whether or not it helps you in your style of fishing if you're one of those guys that likes to try and get into a little bit skinnier water than some of the others can get to.
You know, it's really, really cool to be part of the team that Express has put together with myself, Bill Lowen, Caleb Summerall, Dale Hightower, Jason Christie coming on board. You know, me and Dale, we travel together. We talk to each other a lot during practice. And to add an angler that is as good as Jason is, you know, I fished my very first BFL against Jason Christie, gosh, like 12 years ago, and he won the tournament. I think I finished 14th, but it just showed the class of angler that he is. And it's exciting to me to be part of that team and to have him as as a member. It just kind of solidifies, hey guys, we're here, we're for real. And Express is behind us 1,000%. They do such a great job of promoting us and helping us get everything we need to get out there on the water and be able to compete. The boats themselves speak for themselves once you get on them. The ride is astronomically great. And, you know, we wouldn't be able to get the anglers that we have if we didn't have the boats that we say we did.
You mentioned Palatka. You had the 12th place finish there, Harvey Horn with us. You go back there in just, 4 weeks now. You'll be heading back to Palatka for the EFCO Bassmaster Elite at the St. Johns River. That was a weird deal, too, last year. All kinds of weather, water getting blown out of all the shallow spots and so on. But what is your confidence level going back to Palatka, assuming a more stable weather that you normally would have down there?
You know, I was able to capitalize on finding places that nobody else really went to. Year before last, I'm not one of those guys that's going to go fish on top of where I know somebody else is. And I actually did go down and practice where Mr. Klon ended up winning the tournament, but I never found what I felt like was anything that I needed to stay on. And when I saw him in there in practice, I'm like, listen, you know, this is his deal. I'm going to go try to find what works for me. And that's what I did the first year I was there, and it didn't work out. But I went back to some of those places in 2020 that I had practiced in 2019, and there was fish there. So it kind of, okay, well, I may not be able to win, but at least I know I can go catch fish. And on day two, I was able to pick up a good bag, you know, I think 17 pounds. And it put me in contention, and that's definitely not what I expected. But with the fact that there was no grass, that kind of changed the whole dynamic of the fishery. And it put a lot of guys fishing in a small area. And if you go back and look, Paul Mueller was way away from there. Well, I was one creek down from Paul Mueller. And it just worked out to where I had a great finish, and it looks to be similar situation this year. I don't think we're going to see that grass that we've always had down there in the past, and I think guys are going to spread out more. I think you're going to see more guys running north this year than we have ever before, just because of what Paul did last year there. And I may be the one guy that's completely off the charts. You never can tell where I'm going to wind up, but I've got a few places that I looked at last year that the water got blew out of in practice during the time that we should have been fishing it. And I've just got to get back down there and see what's there. And if those big females are there like I hope, then we might be able to surprise some people.
Always a pleasure. Harvey Horn has been our guest. Harvey, we wish you the best of luck this year. We'll see you out there on the trail.
Thank you, man. See you soon.
All right, thank you, Harvey Horn. All right, let's get a break. When we come back, Greg Hackney, the Hack Attack, is back. And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as I mentioned in the open, you know, you think of Phoenix Boats, one of the first guys that were on the Phoenix Pro staff. And look, let's be honest, the biggest name. Guy's won $2.5 million with Bass. He's won money in all the other circuits as well. Is Greg Hackney. And he joins us now as he is welcome back to the Elite Series after a couple of years bumping around. And he joins us now. Greg, welcome back to the show. Welcome back to Bass. How are you, man?
I'm good, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Well,
I am just glad to be back.
Yeah. Well, it is. No, it's fantastic to have you back in the fold. There's no doubt about it. And look, everybody has their own personal reasons. One of the things I know that a lot of folks thought, you know, when you made that decision was, man, Greg Hackney, he's done everything. He's won everything except for Bassmaster Classic. And there's only one place to win the Bassmaster Classic, and that's with Bass. How big is that in your decision-making, or how big is it just the overall appeal of Bass?
You know, honestly, it's probably 50%. I don't know. It's probably half of the reason for sure that I wanted to return. And I did miss that opportunity, not being able to fish, you know, in the biggest event ever in bass fishing. And you know, I'll be honest with you, in no time in the near future do I see anything trumping the Bassmaster Classic. Yeah. It is still the holy grail of tournament bass fishing. And it is a title that has eluded me, and it may elude me in my entire career, but I'm back where I need to be to have a shot at it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And you came to this the hard way. I mean, the old-fashioned way. You know, you're a guy that would have legend points and so on. You're a former Bassmaster Angler of the Year in 2014. But you came through the Opens, and, you know, I fished the Eastern Opens, now the Southern Opens, and I see what a grind it is out there. And you look at the field this past year between the guys coming over from MLF and the guys, other guys trying to get back in, and then you got existing elites that are fishing, trying to get to the Classic, 200, and then all the local sticks. That's an incredible field. What a grind that was for you and Atkins and the other guys that made it to come in.
You know, I'll be honest with you. It had been, I don't know how many years it's been since I had fished, you know, fished the Opens, like a full schedule of the Opens. And, to me this time it was a lot tougher than it was the first time I qualified for the Elites in that, you know, these guys have gotten better. You know, we're talking about, so I guess maybe 2002. Well, I made the Classic the first time in 2003, so that would have been the first year that I qualified for. And then it was the tour, you know, it was the Bass Tour. It wasn't the Elites. It didn't switch to the Elites until 2006. So I guess realistically, it had been since 2004 since I had tried to qualify, you know, through the Opens. And I can tell you, it's daylight and dark from what it was then. There were a handful of good fishermen then. These guys now found everything. What I noticed on these lakes that we went to, that I never found anything by myself. And typically, you know, the Elite field is a little smaller, about half the size of the Opens. And you know, these guys, they get a lot of time to practice, and they're putting in a lot of time. You know, these guys are serious about making the Classic and serious about, you know, qualifying for the Elites. And it was a grind. And I will tell you, it was not it was not the most enjoyable tournament trail that I have fished. It was tough. And of course, there was a lot of pressure on me, you know, to qualify for the Elites. And between that and the fishing pressure, and it was not easy.
Yeah.
I put a lot into it. You know what I mean? Like I was like mentally, I was prepared for the Opens as I have been for anything in recent time. You know what I mean? Like I was all in that deal to get, you know, to get that shot at, you know, coming back to the Elites. And you know, it was a big deal for me to requalify too, in that I wanted to, when I show up at the Elites and, you know, first week of February in Palatka, I will be an elite angler, and I got there the elite way. You know what I mean? Like the same way I got there the first time. And so nobody, you know, I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I just feel like that, you know, that's the most respected way. You know what I mean? And I just felt like that none of the other elite guys would have an issue with me being there that way. So,
yeah,
definitely it was a win-win. I would have liked it made the Classic.
Well,
I had
look,
a couple opportunities that I blew that, yeah, you know, where I might have had an outside chance. But, I mean, my main goal was to get back in the elites and honestly just get back to normal. Mm. You know, I'm ready for some, you know, we've had a lot of things go on, and of course me changing trails, and that's been a learning experience. And then with the, you know, this deal with COVID-19, and, you know, it's just been a really, really strange year, and I'm just looking forward to 2021, just getting back to normal for me, practice and fishing and events. And
you didn't hedge your bets either. You went just strictly centrals, so you didn't do the Eastern, so it was like all your eggs were in that basket, right?
There was a reason for that. They had already fished one. You know, I'll be honest with you, for me, COVID-19 is was not a bad thing, because they rescheduled the centrals.
Right.
And, you know, the first central would have been in March, and I would have missed it. But by them moving it to June, I think, and because of the, you know, the pandemic, that's what allowed me to fish. So it was almost a godsend. You know what I mean? Like, for me personally, like, things got to work out for me to even be able to fish, you know, and fish them all and have a chance to qualify. And that's how I got in the centrals, because by the time I signed up, they had fished one Southern or Eastern, you know, already. And so I had all my eggs in those four tournaments, and I mean, it had to work out. You know what I mean?
Well, like, and you finished
in
the money.
That's one reason it was so rough.
Yeah, but you were in the money in all four. I mean, the worst one you had was at Neely Henry, where you were 40th, 22nd at the Arkansas River, 21st at St. Rayburn, 40th, and then 5th at Louisville. You had to be dying just a little bit driving, because you got to go over that bridge. You got to go over Ray Roberts, where the classic's going to be. You know, you're going to Louisville, and you can see Ray Roberts right there, and you're thinking, you know, if I could just win this sucker, I'd just stay right here and fish the classic.
That's exactly what I thought. I will be honest with you about that. And I dug me a hole at you know, I didn't have a bad practice at Neely Henry, and the last day I just lost a couple big ones that would have put me in the top 10, and the deal was I had my worst finish there and possibly could have had my best, and I dug myself a hole. You know, I was the last guy in going into that Neely Henry tournament. I was fourth in the points, and then I had a bad finish there and ended up falling to eighth. So that the Louisville tournament was a, you know, it had to happen there. And then I was like, you know what I need to do? I just go out and win the tournament. Then I'm guaranteed to make, you know, I'm guaranteed to make it back in the elites. And then I'm 15 minutes from Ray Roberts. I can just stay here a week and do a little free fishing, you know. But that part didn't work out. But like I said, it's good that the way things went, if they worked out, you know, I think the way they were supposed to. And like I said, I'll be back in the elites here in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, and you'll also be, and I know you will be, and in Fort Worth anyway, working the classic show, which is fantastic. I mean, it's the second place you want to be.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be there.
Yeah, if you're not fishing it, you know, you want to be there. And one of the places I'm sure you'll be stopping by will be the Phoenix booth. And you got to I mean, you were one of the first guys that made that commitment. A lot of guys, it's amazing how many guys are running Phoenix now. Gary does such a tremendous job making sure all the creature comforts are there. And I know for me, I've been running a Phoenix now. This will be my second year. And what I can't believe, speed is nice, but I can't believe how rock steady that boat is in some heavy water.
You know, all around, it's by far the best boat I've ever owned. I've had the opportunity to about run them all at, you know, one time or another. And you know, it's funny, I think this is, I've been there 11 years, I think. I'd have to go back for sure, but I'm pretty sure this is my 11th year with Phoenix. And I just recently, a couple days ago, went and picked up my new boat. And you know, I've always, when I start, my first boat at a Phoenix was a 721, and the boat I have this year is a 721.
Really?
And I pick my boat every year for the schedule. You know, I'm very, very fortunate to have a great relationship with Phoenix, and have had since the beginning. And so I'm fortunate enough to get to pick the boat that I think that will fish that best that year. And, you know, this year I was looking, there's going to be some big water. It's going to be some long boat rides, you know, in the elites. And that's just my preferred boat all around, and has been since the beginning. They're all great. I mean, you know, I've run a 920. So actually the boat, my 2020 boat, was a 920 Elite, which is a boat I really like. Has the big storage box, and I really like that. But, you know, looking at that schedule next year, I just felt like the boat that would suit me the best in the Phoenix line, for me personally, and it's all personal personal preference, and that's 721. That's just I can't get away from it. I've tried, you know, and like I said, they're all great boats. Every one I've had, so I've always kind of stuck with the 20-foot boats because that's just to me. You know, I spent a lot of time fishing shallow, fishing boat docks, fishing around trees, and that shorter boat for me just kind of maneuvers better. For me personally, that's just the way I fish. You know, a lot of the guys run a 921. You know, it's probably right. There are probably more guys running a 921 or a 921 Elite, you know, than any other, you know, fishing tournaments, you know, fishing the elites, fishing Major League Fishing, whatever else. But for me personally, I like that 20-foot model. And that 721, I'm not lying to you now, when you get in water that where it's where you spear waves, you almost have to try to spear one. Spirit.
Yeah.
That boat just handles them 4 and 5 footers so great. And I just, you know, and it's a rocket. And I like to go fast, but I like a boat that rides good. And it's just a boat that suits me.
And the beam is the same. The platform is the same. The width, you know, I mean, and that's where that steady ride thing comes from. Is so that extra foot. And I know there's a place that you really like to fish shallow, and that's the Sabine River. That's the last time you went on the Elite Series, and you'll be going there in April. I mean, you got to take care of some business, obviously, in February, going from, you know, the nice warm weather, hopefully, of the St. Johns River in Palatka, Florida, then up to Knoxville, which is going to be absolutely stunning. You know, we know how that was for the Classic there, how great. Crowds were up there and so on. But then after the Classic, it's the Sabine River where you won. You get into some gnarly spots in there, and I would imagine that that's when you got circled on your schedule.
You know, the Sabine's a scary place. I've done well there, you know, about every time we've been there, but it's always you ride a fine line at the Sabine. I think you can ask any of the guys that go there. It's scary. There's the deal at the Sabine. You have to catch those better fish, and it's a very challenging fishery. But it's another reason that I picked that boat, because it's also an opportunity there. You can run as far as Houston. You know, you can run 120 miles to get to some good fishing there. So I just, in case, depending on what I decided to do, I needed a boat to make that ride in. And not only there, some other places too. It's be some long boat rides at Fort Loudoun Teleco. You know, if a guy wants to fish on the top end of Teleco, so I mean, he's going to make a long run from where we're unloading that. So I just take all that in, and I might, you know, it may work out to where I fish right next to the ramp in every tournament. But you always have to prepare, you know, in an Elite Series event for the worst. Yeah. You know what I mean? Do whatever you got to do to. But that's the Sabine River. I like it.
Yeah,
I do. I really like it because it's just, honestly, I can take you 5 minutes from my house right now and we can put my boat in a river, and you'd swear we were at the Sabine River.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm real accustomed to fishing that type of water, but it's a scary place.
but it looks great on Bassmaster Live when you're in there firing that, you know, top water in there up in the shallow stuff, and it's good stuff. Greg Hackney has been our guest. Well, Hack, it's great to have you back in the Bassmaster Elite Series. You know, winners, all the winners that come on the show, so hopefully we'll talk to you this year at some particular point in time. We've had multiple event winners the past couple of years as well, so, you know, who knows? But I know, really looking forward to seeing what you can do on this Elite Series this year.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and you know what? I'll keep my fingers crossed that you and I get to speak again this year before it's over.
Let's do it, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Greg Hackney. I mean, how cool is that? All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Big news from Birmingham this week is that the Bassmaster Classic has been backed up to June, according to the release, due to the ongoing public health emergency and associated limits on large gatherings. Bass officials announced that the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic presented by Hook and the Bassmaster Classic Outdoors Expo, originally scheduled for March, would be moved to June 11th through the 13th. Quote, "It's our hope that this delay will allow us to alleviate many of the challenges, including any potential capacity restrictions and travel complications related to hosting both the tournament and the Outdoors Expo in the current pandemic environment," according to Bass CEO Bruce Aiken. He went on to say, "We look forward to seeing thousands of fans along with our partners and industry friends at the 51st Bassmaster Classic." Quote, Our team will be working with the Fort Worth Sports Commission and Visit Fort Worth to make this historic trip to Texas an incredible and memorable event. Well, it is time for another great sweepstakes giveaway from your friends at Bassmaster. Just visit Bassmaster.com and click on sweepstakes for a chance to win in the Bassmaster Weekly Winter Giveaway. One winner each week through January 29th will win a $1,000 Bass Pro Shops gift card, and you can enter daily for your chance to win. Visit Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for details and to enter. It's also a great time to join a Bass Nation club or to form one if there's not one in your area. Bass Nation anglers around the country compete on the local level and all have a chance to advance to the Elite Series and even the Bassmaster Classic. Brandon Polinek is a former Nation champion who went on to win Angler of the Year. Paul Mueller is another Nation alum who has now won twice in the Elite Series. For more information on how to become a member or start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Taking a look at the upcoming schedule, right now it's the AFCO Bassmaster Elite at the St. John's River, scheduled to take place in just 4 weeks, February the 11th through the 14th, followed by the Bassmaster Elite at the Tennessee River out of Knoxville, February 25th through the 28th. The first open of the season will be the BassPro.com Bassmaster Open at the Harris Chain of Lakes. That is on the Southern Open Trail, and that will be March 4th through the 6th. The BassPro.com Bassmaster Open at Lewis Smith Lake is in the Central Division, and that will be April 1st through the 3rd. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. And check out our new YouTube channel at Tom Abraham as well. Until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I am Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.